The golden rule says you should treat others the way you want to be treated. But an unfortunate truth is that idea doesn't account for the driving power of wanting to prove someone wrong or get even. Media moguls Vince McMahon and Ted Turner turned the 90s cable airwaves into an open war zone of professional wrestling with millions of fans. The global superpowers of the 20th century even threw down to be the first to send a man to the moon, just as a flex. There are stories where people crash and burn in perceived mutual hatred, too. Like naturalist Charles Waterton humiliating himself trying to bring down American birding icon James Audubon. But that's the beauty of beef. It's funny, it's dark, it's humanity in a nutshell. And it's a triple gold signal award-winning show from Next Chapter Podcasts. I'm Bridget Todd. Join me as I serve up the juiciest rivalries you've never heard of. Listen to Beef wherever you get your podcasts.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So can you hear those little shits?
In the I did just hear them actually.
Yeah. So listeners, I'm at a hotel in San Francisco and the people next door have, I think, two kids with them. And until 5 minutes ago, they were screaming at a clitoral exorcist level. Like it was beyond.
It's so
I thought I was going to have to call the house detective. Do they still have those in hotels? I thought I was going to have to call the house detective to investigate.
It's so bad whenever, because like, what do? Like yell at them?
You can't. And I was listening to the dad and he was doing what you have to do in that situation and just be completely calm and let the kid like have the tantrum. But at one point I slammed a few doors myself because I was like, I understand you can't say anything, but the bitch next door can.
And that bitch is me.
Can I tell you what happened to me today? I was walking down Market Street in San Francisco in possibly a not good neighborhood, which I knew wasn't a good neighborhood, but I thought I could walk through it quickly.
Okay.
Anyway, a vagrant on a skateboard slammed into me and knocked my glasses off of my head on the sidewalk. Yes.
How did you wait this long to tell me this?
We've been recording for 30 seconds.
I know, but
did you want me to call you mid-fall? Like, what was I supposed to do?
I don't know,
the glasses like... fell off, I was supposed to go, Chris!
Honestly, yes, but wow. Wait, really? That's terrible.
It was an assault, and then he went away, and I didn't even realize my glasses had fallen off, and someone behind me picked them up and said, sir, and I turned around, and I was, like, mildly embarrassed. I don't really do embarrassed that much, but I was sort of mildly, like, should I have done something? But I couldn't do anything because the guy was on a skateboard.
Well, what? First of all, what? This is like when my car got keyed. It's like, what was I going to do? Open the car door and like attack this person?
Right.
No.
Right.
Like you just take it and then you.
Naturally, there was some fucking guy behind me on the sidewalk who was like, yeah, I would have slapped the shit out of him. And I would have been like, yeah, well, you're also not 5'4 and old and had your glasses knocked off your face, son. Hate people. Hate everyone. Fuck you, San Francisco. No, I love San Francisco, but I couldn't even identify who it was. He was wrapped in blankets and on a skateboard.
He was gone, baby, gone.
Speaking of vagrants, let's just dive right into Jada Pinkett Smith.
We're overdue to speak about this. We should have talked about it last week, and we didn't, and that's on us, I must just say.
So go ahead. I know you're like actually annoyed about this chapter.
No, I'm
not.
No, I like want to do a whole other episode about her because of this. The fact that she had the abs, to quote Ramona Singer, the audacity to deliver that book to us and then, because every single person that has a podcast and or a voice said, Jada, what the fuck are you saying that you didn't see the slap and you didn't know what you were talking about? You were in the front row.
Right.
Like the fact that you think that you're pulling one over on us. She right. now has to double down because that's what she does best and come to play and say, oh, actually, the slap is the only thing that's like rejuvenated my love for my husband. And like he should have assaulted someone. And it's now called the holy slap.
They call it the holy slap that saved their marriage.
She's slapping all of us in the face and telling us that it's a kiss and telling us that it's a kiss.
She's a lot. Just a reminder that the title of her book is Worthy. The original title was Unlovable. I leave you with that information. That's a fact. I'm not making that up, Christopher. Google
yes,
it.
Yes, you are.
Christopher Michael DeRosa, I will pause this podcast.
Are you serious?
I swear to you, she said in interviews that her original title was Unlovable and somehow it changed to Worthy. I love delivering this information to you. And I hope that you want to fix her even less because we are not doing another episode about her. I brought her up 4 times during my holiday show. I feel like I'm going to lose fans.
Well, we have to talk about your holiday show, but not just yet. But we have to dissect the night. It was a night to remember, by the way. If you weren't at the cutting
room. It
was
the night of 1,000 stars. It was the night of 1,000 people who listened to this podcast crammed into a room is what it was. Yeah. It was pretty fucking amazing. But let's move on with before we even talk about that lunacy, I have to talk about the world's biggest lunatic. Just say the words Brit Watch so I can say what I need to say.
Britney Watch.
Oh, baby, baby. Hey, y'all. This bitch, her Instagram this week is back at
she's unfettered
cuckoo levels.
She's, she cuckoo. Is, yeah, she's not tied down. I think she fired the social media team and now she's just firing off whatever she wants. And I'm absolutely living for it.
It is lunacy. First of all, I thought that she had posted something the other day and I swore that she was wearing a sombrero and I was like, this has to stop. That red hat she had on and that tube top. She had a red hat on a tube top and she was just acting really weird and making the heart signs and shrugging her shoulders and doing some sort of what looked like an interpretive dance with some sort of message that all of the Britwits, is that what we would call a nitwit who follows
how
Britney, a Britwit?
Yeah, you mean me?
I certainly do. Yeah. That all the Britwits were trying to fucking decipher what she was saying. And it just turned out that she was probably having a stroke. But then a day later, she posted pictures from a 2020 house fire where she accidentally burned down her home gym.
Yeah. Yes. Dominic, yes.
I don't remember this happening in 2020.
Oh, I do.
But did we see pictures of it in 2020?
No, but she was like, I burned down my gym. Oops. Like we knew this happened.
Yeah. I think that's the issue is like, she's so gleeful about it. Like she has a family.
Well, and that's when
dogs,
like, no,
those
but that's,
dogs save those dogs.
But that's also when we were like, Britney's in jail in her own home. So we were like, look, she's burning her house to the ground to escape. You know what I mean? Like,
I see. That's right. That must have been, it was a cry for help. She did it accidentally on purpose. Interesting. Yeah. She's going to lose her mind. She's going to lose her mind.
Dominic, what mind? It's
listen to me. I really believe this follow-up book she's doing is going to be some sort of terrorist manifesto. It's going to be it's going to be written by her, and it's just going to be one sentence without punctuation. It's going to be 300 pages.
That's not. She's not. The book's never coming. We've heard zero. We've not heard hide nor hair of it since. She doesn't need to do another book.
There are many ghostwriters behind the scenes making up shit because that was like the biggest book of the year and they want another one. You know how this goes. They're going to definitely. They'll release it and not even tell her.
I'm just getting eyes on the home gym burning down. She's never posted these pictures where it's like literal ash.
It's actual ash. Yeah. It's a crime scene. She posted a crime scene that she caused.
This is like arson. It's I haven't. She's just posting random pictures. Like this is the most recent thing that she posted 31 minutes ago. It's her hugging one of her kids at school, and it says, "I didn't get to see my kids as much as I wanted, so I would go to their school and have lunch with them!" !! He just wanted me to hold him, though. Our professional conversations. What does that mean?
She's- It means she's unwell. Also, all this stuff about I wanted to see my kids. She hasn't seen them in like 4 years. P.S. So thank you for posting picture of lunch from sixth grade.
Who's not? Whose fault is that, Dominic? Not hers.
Hers.
No.
Okay. We're no. not. Chris, I cannot end my friendship with you today. It's
really quickly. Really quickly. You remember whenever the man was dancing with her in front of the Weather Channel?
Yes.
That was Cade. I have been told that that was Cade, her manager, which sent me into the absolute stratosphere, and I've yet to come back from it.
And I am not even a Britwit, and I called out that it
you
was
knew.
Cade.
No, you knew. You knew. You are a Britwit.
Also,
you don't
want to
admit it. You don't want to admit it to us, but you are. Anyway.
At another date, we're going to talk about naming someone Cade. I mean, it sounds like a. It sounds
do
like
we
a,
need to do we?
It sounds like something you'd have in a wood shop. Can you hand me that Cade? Well, I need not, to do some planing.
Dominic, that's not his name.
That's well, what's his name?
That's his LA name.
What do we think his Mississippi name is?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, you've dismissed Cade.
Brittany's Instagram is a absolute cornucopia of different things. Like at one,
I love your holiday allegories. Thank you very much.
She
it
just
is
posted
an absolute,
a
ra- yeah.
She just posted a random picture of herself looking into the camera and wrote October 2nd, 2023. And that was posted one day ago.
She doesn't know the numbers as well as how to read.
I love it. Like, I love it.
P.S. Have you seen pictures of Sam Asghari recently? He's lost 40 pounds since they split up, and he is somehow an even piecier piece of ass than he was when he was Mr. Britney Spears.
No, but it looked weird in the picture I saw. His arms looked unproportional and weird.
Well, maybe they were photoshopped, but he's definitely lost weight. They always take it too far. Like, it's never good enough. Even if they look good in a photo, they got to ruin it and Photoshop it. But
there's some weird, like, underarm. He's taking after our guest this week and doing some underarms, like, tune-ups that
you think it's surgical? I would still remove all my clothes and lay down on top of him.
No, sure, sure.
Politely requested that I get off of him.
Dominic, who amongst? But what I'm saying, hey, P.S., thought he looked great before.
Of course he did. There were absolutely no complaints about him. So for him to show up hotter, it's like,
but it's
okay, I'll take
it. It's like weird. It's weird. And also, he will never do anything ever again. So this is the most he's getting right now.
You never know. You never know. Sure. He can turn out to be a Golden Globe Award winning supporting actor in a television series, miniseries, or special.
Dominic.
Let's move on to this latest thing that Rebecca and Tom brought to our attention recently about a resurgence in the Alyssa Milano Shannon Doherty feud from more than 20 years ago from Charmed. As it turns out, on Shannon Doherty's new podcast, Holly Marie Combs recalls that Alyssa Milano is the one who got Shannon Doherty fired from the show, because she said it was either her or me, and they chose to get rid of Shannon Doherty because Alyssa was going to sue the producers of Charmed for a hostile work environment. Alyssa Milano, how dare you?
Sue for a hostile work environment?
She was going to file hostile work environment claims against the production company.
Well, I'll say
because,
this, Shannon
because
Doherty,
she wasn't getting along with Shannon Doherty.
Why? Yeah, why would it be hostile, Shannon Doherty?
No, Alyssa was the one who said it was hostile.
I'm saying, Shannon Doherty, what did you do to make it a hostile work environment if she's ready to file claims that then got you fired?
You are revealing yourself to be Team Alyssa Milano here.
I'm just saying that's what I hear from the story.
Interesting.
I'm Team No One.
Well,
I'm
all
team
I know
P-
is...
I'm Team P3, okay?
Oh, my God.
That's what I am.
Holly Marie Combs, who obviously is someone who should be listened to, her vote clearly goes to Shannon Doherty. So everyone's anti-Alyssa right now. Well, and Alyssa, today is her 51st birthday, and she posted some bullshit online in response and was just like, here are the lessons I've learned. Now that I'm at level 51,
Shannon Doherty was like, here's a lesson I learned of you being a fucking cunt. Like, right? Like that.
So I've never watched an episode of Charmed, I might add.
It's terrible, but like back in the day, it was like popping.
I always just thought it was like a non-equity version of Buffy. Like, am I wrong about that?
No, you're not. But like, I mean, Tom is like absolutely putting a gun like in his pocket to come kill.
Are people hitting their phones with sledgehammers and saying, "Curse you, Dominic Pupa"? No,
Tom is like driving to both of our houses right now to kill us for us saying that. But
I'm not home, Tom. So good luck.
It's like you're not wrong, but it was it's a thing. Remember, like, Dr. Quinn, like Medicine Woman, and like what was the one with Chuck Norris? Like, what was his thing? Walker Texas Ranger.
It's like one of those.
Like, do you know what I mean? It's like where it's like, oh, they have, it's like episodic where they like go in and there's a problem and then they fix it at the end and like blah blah. It's like one of those.
Obviously, Alyssa Milano is not going to say anything too harsh because Shannon Doherty's been very ill for years.
Like,
so
almost
she's
died
probably,
like 17 times. Yeah.
I
mean, you just have to say nothing. You just have to say nothing. Like, what do you say? Nothing. You just move it right along, right?
Speaking of someone who should say nothing,
here we go.
No, I can't watch the George Santos interview.
With Z-Way?
I can't. I've seen a couple of clips of it, I get so angry that I know we have talked about let's fix him again and blah, blah, blah. I refuse. I think he is a horrific troll of a human being. He is Templeton the rat from Charlotte's Web. It is a humiliation in the history of our nation that this piece of shit was a member of Congress. And I'll base this solely on the fact that he is a gay man. He is a gay Republican, which it's still word for word in the Republican platform that marriage should only be between a man and a woman. How you reconcile that is between you and Cher. I don't even know. But he sits up there and Z-Way's like, what did you think of Harvey Milk? And he just didn't know who Harvey Milk was, which is
Dominic
simply astonishing to me that he couldn't even cobble together an answer or an excuse or something. He should be put down.
Dominic, he's a grifter. He doesn't know who anyone is. He knows
I
who
hate
he is.
This person. No, actually, sure.
I'm more upset that Showtime canceled Z-Way's show.
That like, is I'm upset so that she bizarre,
had to,
isn't it?
I'm upset that she had to put this on YouTube. That's who I'm upset with in this position.
But why would they
and they
do
should
that?
Be kicking themselves. Yeah, kicking they themselves. Should. They should be like, I'll say it again.
What
you
should they
be
doing?
Kicking yourselves. Yes. Yellow Jackets is not doing it. Okay. You need a little bit more. And it was Z-Way.
They just have such few titles with any juice and everyone knows who she is. It's like she's having an actual moment because of the airtime they gave her. And then they cut her loose. Very bizarre decision.
Yeah.
Very bizarre.
Anyway.
I want to talk about Cardi B and Offset and their New Year's Eve plans. This is, to me, I don't know if it's real or not. I think it is absolutely hysterical and brilliant, and I almost hope it's not real because it's absolute genius. On New Year's Eve, Cardi B and her ex, I mean, they're still, I believe, technically married, but they are split up.
Yeah, they're
her
just
ex
split
Offset,
up recently, right?
Right. They're both performing at the Fontainebleau Hotel in Miami, in different venues at the same hotel at the same time on New Year's Eve. And they're making like a big deal out of it, like it's a prize fight. Who's going to get the bigger audience? And I guess they were scheduled to do this before they broke up. But now that they've quote unquote broken up, which seems like a publicity stunt for New Year's Eve, but I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Dominic, if we were that famous and we then stopped doing this podcast together and then did warring podcasts where people had to choose which one of us they would go to, like, that's hilarious.
That would be absolutely
hilarious. That's amazing.
Let's do that. Let's like, actually
we should
do that.
Yeah. Like, that's
Let's
amazing.
Do a mid-year faux split.
Tug of war, if you
where
will.
Where we have dueling podcasts. Yeah. Right. You have to pick one.
It's beautiful. I love everything about that. It's so messy in the best way.
It's a great idea. I cannot remember. Madonna is here now and she's in New York and she's in the United States. Did you see her concert or are you going in January?
No.
Or
I
neither?
I think I'm going to skip out, I think.
Yeah, I sat this one out as well. I had tickets but then couldn't go because of my show.
I've only heard I've only heard from every single person that saw it that it wasn't good, so I'm not...
Yeah, I have. It's been sort of lackluster, the reviews. And my friends were there on the first night when I guess she came out. She set the record on her tour for starting at 10:44 p.m. Ma'am, come on.
No, that's like unacceptable. I'm sorry to say.
And look, no one's denying that Madonna is like one of the artists of the millennium. No one's denying that. People get very upset when you critique that she's late because it's like she's burlesque, she's drag, she's a nightclub experience. Like everyone understands all that. But people also have to work and take the subway home. No, so you can't go on that late, man.
And like, tell me that you're going on that late. Like, yeah, say the concert starts at 10:45 and then I'll show up at 10:30. You know what I mean? Not show up at 7 to then wait for 3.5 hours.
Of course. I do like how she looks now because she looks to me sort of like a sexy, mature Italian woman. Like she's just looking like lusty and busty, and I like the way she looks. I think she looks her age, which I do not think is bad. I've never thought it's bad. I think it's amazing. I also think that she did not almost die this year, and she just got a goddamn facelift.
Like, no, I was gonna say, so you think
her facelift,
so you think that her hospital stint, aka her in sheltering in place to heal her facelift, it worked.
I mean, who am I? I have not signed a HIPAA release. I don't know any of but I would think that maybe she just had a stomach bug and she was like, while you're in there, please remove half of my face.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
I just think so. I don't think she should be embarrassed about it. Also,
I mean, that's what you're going to do the next time you get hospitalized. You're going to be like,
I'm not really in San Francisco. I'm in Turkey.
Yeah, you're like, I'm getting my neck chopped off.
I'm glad you brought that up because the listeners should know that because we have talked about my impending neck lift on this podcast so much, that mine and Chris's entire Instagram algorithms are just about neck lifts.
No,
and
I'm
dozens
getting,
of you, and yes. I mean dozens yes. of you have messaged us neck lift alternatives, remedies, or doctors that will do it, to the point now where listeners are saying that their feeds are now full of neck
lift. You've now caused other people to have this. It's like this thing where you rub on your neck. Like, again, why the fuck they're not sending us one for free, I don't know. But like,
yeah,
this
honestly,
thing that you like rub on your neck to like laser it away.
It's so funny though to hear it and then go do my holiday show and people are coming to my show who only know me from the podcast, and they're greeting me afterwards and just saying, you don't need a neck lift. I'm like, wow, people listen to this podcast. It's bizarre.
You told people to hold you accountable, so now they are. I'm so sorry.
I'm gonna really have to get one now. Or yeah. I'll just have to do a handstand when I see all these people so they don't see. Speaking as we did earlier of humiliating homosexuals in the halls of Congress, this Senate sex scandal, I can't.
You know that Tom's husband Trevor was the Senate bottom, and I was like, what are you talking about? And then he sent me the link, but we were sitting down to your holiday show, so I was like, I can't receive this right now. No pun intended.
Wait, so you were watching that tape as I was trying to entertain people?
I was like, I must like set this aside to like fully digest it once I'm not about to watch you be on stage. So like,
did you then watch it?
The next morning, I then got eyes on it and was texting Trevor. I was like, okay, I'm finally getting eyes on this. And I was like, oh my God, what the fuck is this? It is so wild.
I mean, it's just, it's butt sex in the halls of Congress. It's in like
crazy.
A congressional chamber. It's
why?
Because that is a generation of people. This is going to seem like nothing in 2 years. It's going to be something that happens every day.
They're like, this is my OnlyFans. What do you mean? Like, it's
right. No one.
Have you seen that these people are like digging up his old like Instagram stories?
Oh,
where
they're terrible. He's horrid. He's a horrific person. Like,
And this is what I'm going to say to you. The United States government is absolute fucking garbage because George Santos was allowed to literally be a part of the government. And like, this was all out in the world on the internet, whatever. And you're just like, not even like, no one saw this. No one thought, oh, this is inappropriate. Like all these weird things where he's talking about sucking congressmen's fingers and shit. Have you
and
seen
then
this?
Still getting hired after
yes.
that. Like, no one did yes. a background check on this kid's Twitter before he got hired to the United States government.
Yeah. It's insane. You can do any. I could put my butthole on my Instagram story and they'd be like, sure. Hello.
I don't know. I don't know how I'm supposed to respond to that, but part of me wants you to do it just to see what
butthole.
Put your butthole on. Put your butthole
my,
on.
My butthole. Remember you were going to.
Yes. Put your butthole on the FFP Insta page and see what happens.
No one wants to see
if we get
that.
Canceled.
No one wants to see that. Anyway.
I read an article today, by the way, in the New York Post, which I found very interesting because it's the first time I've seen publicly someone acknowledge that if you go to the Rockefeller Center tree at 5 a.m, it is lit every day at 5. I thought until recently this was a secret, and I can't remember if I told this story on this podcast before. I know I've told it online and in other media, but many years ago, like in the late 90s, I was a bartender and we would go to an after hours that was literally when you left the after hours and opened the door to the building that it was in, you were facing the tree, the Rockefeller Center tree. It was so bizarre. So it was on whatever the street is. It's on the southern border of Rockefeller Center. It was in like a brownstone or a building there where you would just open right out. And my boyfriend and I at the time were twirling on whatever the hell we were doing then. We were like 25 years old. It was insane. And it was 5 a.m. We were covered in sweat for an after hours. And we had come out of this hot party and I had to just take a break. And so the tree was off. It was because this was close to 5 a.m. And we went up to it and I just leaned against a rail, like right underneath the tree so I could catch my breath. And then without warning, the tree just lit up and we were the only people there in Rockefeller Plaza. And it startled me so much that I fainted. I passed out at the base.
You have told me this story before.
I think maybe that was the last time in my life that I fully fainted. But I did pass out and then reacted to it by telling everyone the good news, which was you can go to the tree lighting any morning you want at 5 a.m. Now it's a thing. Like, it's not just a secret anymore. Just something that random gay guys are saying online. It's like,
and the tree lighting, it's definitely the tree lighting up that made you faint. Not all of the God knows what kind of drugs you were on at the time that you were.
How dare you? No, it was definitely a combination of both. I mean, had I not been, you know, playing drugstore cowboy in my 20s, I'm sure that I wouldn't have fainted, but I would have been startled for sure. I would have been startled. What are you? So this is actually the last podcast that's going to air before the day of Cher's birth, December 25th, our Lord. So what are you? What are you doing for Christmas? Where do you go? Where will you go?
I'm going to go to my mom's. And speaking of my mom,
I got to meet Chris's mom, listeners. It was a joy. First of all, she's younger than me, or at least appears that way, which is very, very glamorous and also insanely unsettling.
She also came in Dominic Pupa cosplay. Like, she basically wore the exact same outfit that you wore on stage.
She did.
To your show.
And I did not know this. And disappointing. I know she did, but I wish I'd known because I always change out of that outfit afterwards. And we could have taken a great picture. Also, it was just a disaster. I changed. My mother, my poor mother, was ill and could not go. And we were going to do a Moms of FFP photo shoot. It was just a disaster. Thank God the show is so monumental, though, because at least that made up for it.
You were on your A game. People were dying laughing.
It was a fun night. I'm being like jokingly arrogant about it, but it was a very fun night. And so many people, honestly, in all the cities I've been doing this holiday show, there are people showing up who only know who I am from this podcast, and the loveliest, coolest, pop culture loving, fun fucking people. Like, everyone I've met makes me feel good about doing this podcast because they are all the exact kind of people that we want to be listening to this podcast. They are people that we would hang out with and now do.
Basically do, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just one big party.
But it was great. It was the best time. And truly, when I say that I ran up to your father and was like, before Dominic sees us speaking, like, how do I get you on the podcast behind his back?
And I won't allow it. I will not allow it.
He was like, reach out to me directly. Like, we'll have to go through, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, we were like, we had like a full, like it was like the Hunger Games. Like, we were like trafficking like goods through like God knows what. Like, we were having a full web of like lies spread to like,
I will get- tell you that him thinking that I don't want him on this podcast is like, he's more severe about it than me, but he talks about it so often that I'm now nervous about doing it because I feel like he has a plan to take it over.
To take it over. Yeah. Yeah. I said, we'll edit out anything. You're like, you don't even want to see what he'll say. And I go, we'll edit it out. Like, I'm rabid to have your father on this podcast. Anyway.
He'll definitely come on in 2024.
Yes.
I will see them next weekend. I will obviously be going there for the holidays. And then the day after, I will be going to London because I have very financially soundly decided to book an entire vacation to Europe in the busiest travel week of the year so I can see Nicole Scherzinger in Sunset Boulevard.
You're an absolute idiot.
It is, ladies and gentlemen, what you're hearing here is peak homosexual behavior. I am getting on a plane to see a pussycat doll in an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical. That is basically it. That is the reason I'm leaving the United States.
We also need, well, we're going to need a full rundown.
I can't wait. I've only heard wonderful things about it,
like
about the musical.
A full rundown.
I'm going to see the ABBA hologram show Voyage as well. That's the other reason I'm going. And I know that's been out for a while, but I didn't want to just solely travel for that. Nicole Scherzinger, I will get on a plane for, though.
All right. A few housekeeping things.
Go for it.
First and foremost, guys, if you want the Long Island Iced Tree candles, you got to get it right now.
Like today.
Like you should stop, pause the podcast, go to Wax Cabin Candle Company and buy them because there's nothing else. Like, this is it. Okay. They're like almost gone. So if you want one, you got to hurry. Speaking of Wax Cabin Candle Company, the fact that Jen Gunn, owner of Wax Cabin, came to your show and I was like, who is this random supermodel?
She's a model. She's,
I was like, who's this beautiful
tall
woman that I recognize, but I don't know. I've never met before. And then she goes, hi, it's Jen. And I was like, oh my God, you're so pretty.
I've only seen her online. Right. She is about six. Well, I mean, she's probably not 6 feet tall, but to someone my height, she's six feet tall. And she was
she's taller than me.
Unspeakably gorgeous. Speaking of Long Island Iced Tree, while in San Francisco, I had dinner with my friend, Courtney Wilson. And she reminded me after the show, which is something I forgot, that in August, she had suggested to me, because I used to name my Christmas trees every year and do like a theme. And she, after listening to the podcast, had recommended that this year I name the tree the Long Island Iced Tree. And I don't know if I was stoned when I read it or forgot it, or it's possible that I stole it and don't remember if that's a thing. And so she brought it up and I wanted to possibly give her credit, but I don't know if I forgot it happened. Did I come up with it on my own? I don't know, but
dear God,
we did confirm the text. It was in writing and I felt absolutely horrible. So I bought her vodka tonic and cheese curds for dinner last night as payment for allowing me to possibly have stolen that name.
Well, I mean, you are also lighting up blunts on this podcast now, so like God only knows. You know what I mean? Like I'm sure that you were too high and forgot all about it. So God, like I must side with her on this.
Listen, I get stoned on purpose, so I forget everything we've done, and I can listen to the podcast fresh every Wednesday and say, "Oh, they're funny. Who are they?
Who are those two women that are
right? Who are those raspy Italian women?" Joe Pesci's grandmothers sound wonderful on the podcast.
Okay, our final thing. Guys, next week is the Fixie Awards.
Fixie Awards.
And tomorrow,
Thursday the 21st.
In the Patreon.
Yeah.
You're going to be voting for some awards, okay?
Yeah.
So, like, get ready. Thursday, the ballots are going up, and it's time to vote. Anyone that is a paid member of the Patreon can vote in these. And so if you're not in the at least the $5 tier and you want to be a part of this, sign on up, okay?
And it's very important that I want to note that the reason that these categories are going to be available on Thursday and not today, the day that the podcast drops, is because we have not decided what they are.
Well, I've decided what they are. I just haven't looked at them yet.
Is that true? Did you send me a Google Doc?
I sent you a share.
Oh, God, I'm such a Christmas monster. I can't do anything except take to a stage in December. Yeah. You're lucky you have me for this hour.
However, there are going to be some categories that we do not, that we decide ourselves amongst the Academy ourselves.
Right, that we'll be doing.
The greater Academy.
As RuPaul says, the decision is mine to make in some of these categories.
However, the greater Academy, aka all of the patrons, you guys, the fixies themselves, will decide some of the awards. So, just letting you guys know, tomorrow, get ready.
And we'll also have special guest Rebecca Bregman for the Fixies back, because she is our award show correspondent, and the Fixies are a goddamn award show. Our year-end best and worst of the fixables.
We could talk all day. I mean, we got to get to a get. We have to go.
We have our final fix of the year coming up right now.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, Dominic, we have a big... I know I always say we have a big one. We have a big today. Hello. Susie Banacharam is an Emmy-winning journalist and filmmaker who has run newsrooms at Vice, Gizmodo, and the Daily
She's
News.
Showing the Emmy right now. Did you see that? She showed us the Emmy.
I mean, I felt like you should see it, right?
We should, yes, just to prove it. You are a journalist.
It's just very casually in the background of my Zoom.
Of course it is.
Susie, you have started a new podcast called In Retrospect. And you know what? I always know when a new podcast is good because I always go, why the fuck did I not think of this idea? And it's exactly up our alley to like rehash iconic TV and pop culture moments from the 80s and 90s. And it's something we kind of do on this show a little bit, but not with as celebrated a crowd as you have on your guys' show. Could you tell us a little bit about the podcast?
Yes. So I host the podcast with Jessica Bennett, who is an editor and columnist at the Times. And she's been covering the gender beat for a long time. She's kind of most well-known for having been the first person who profiled Monica Lewinsky when we started to re-examine that. I mean, it's not what she's most well-known for, but it's one of the
heard of her.
Well,
have heard of her. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she's great. We've been friends for a long time. We started as babies together in media, and we've just always, you know, talked about these stories, and we're always like calling each other in the middle of the night being like, oh, I fell down this rabbit hole about so-and-so. And so we pitched this podcast, and, you know, we got lucky. iHeart is producing it, and we've done lots of really interesting topics so far. We did Oprah's famous Wagon of Fat episode, which you might remember when she like lost
vividly
pulled out this like red child's wagon full of fat. We did Mary Kay Letourneau recently, actually, which is a lot of people are talking about because of the new May December movie, which is based on the Mary Kay Letourneau story, which is about a 30-something-year-old teacher who had an affair with her 12-year-old student.
Yes.
But was portrayed weirdly in the media as kind of a love story. So we're sort of looking at how the media covered a lot of these stories. In addition to kind of revisiting them, we're also kind of asking questions about why they were covered the way they were, and would it be that different now? It's kind of hard to say in some cases.
That's so interesting.
Right? It is actually kind of,
yeah.
You want to think that it would be so different, and in some cases, I think it would. Like in that case, like a 12-year-old, you think it would probably be different, but...
Now, wait, were you also a reality producer at one point?
I was. I was an associate producer on the first season of Wife Swap.
Wow.
Which I've talked about a little bit on the show. We did a show about regrets, and I talked about the children. Like, I don't really regret any of the producing you do behind the scenes with the adults, but, you know, the children don't get a vote. And as right. I'm sure you guys have thought about too in your careers. And at Wife Swap, it was the associate producer's job to get the children to tell you terrible things about their parents. So I do think about that some. We have an episode where I talk about that regret. But yeah, it was a fascinating experience.
I produced 3 episodes. Oh. I mean, almost everyone in New York who's my age had to at least slog through a few episodes of that. And I remember after the first one, which it was hard. That was a very
hard
show to work on.
To produce,
And I remember the EP saying the average life for a producer or director on the show is 3 episodes. I was like, nah, I could do a million of these. And I did 3. I couldn't. Yeah. After the third one, I truly said never again. Worked with some great people, but the requirements for the show, what was needed to make an episode was just a lot. It was one of the more stressful producing jobs that I've had.
Well, you know, we're going to gossip about someone who is obsessed with reality television on this episode, and that is Mrs. John Legend herself, Chrissy Teigen.
Now, Susie, at the top of our, should we call these, they're fixes. I wanted to call them fixations because they sort of are fixations.
They are fixations.
They're momentary fixations. At the top of each fixation, we have our guest and Chris guess what the person we're fixing, what their middle name was for no reason at all. Christine is her first name. The last name is Teigen. What is your guess for her middle name?
So the problem here is that I'm a journalist, so I cheated and I looked.
We appreciate you admitting it. It was not the first time. That means Chris is on his own. He still has to.
Yeah. She's tweeted about it, if that makes you feel any better.
Okay.
And it's related to food, not a food item I'd heard of. But these are the 2 hints I have for you as someone who knows.
A food item you...
Her middle name is Chicken. Sorry.
Chicken Finger.
Yeah.
Chrissy Chicken Teigen.
Yeah. Christine Sharp Cheddar Teigen. No. Her name is
Her middle name is Funnel Cake.
That would be great.
But honestly, a food item that you haven't heard of would be something very obscure.
But the name is like a regular person's name.
Yeah, I don't know what Susie's talking about here. As a person who knows the middle name as well, I'm like, I don't know where we're going with this.
I'll tell you what the tweet was.
Wait.
Christine Ramp Teigen.
Oh, that's a good guess.
So seasonal.
What is it?
Twizzler. Christine Twizzler.
Shut your mouth. Teigen.
It is Diane. Spelled Diane.
Like steak Diane.
Steak Diane. I didn't know what a steak Diane was. That? What is a steak Diane?
I don't know. Siri, what's a steak Diane? Your best work, steak bitch. Nothing. She said literally nothing.
What is steak Diane?
I can't believe you knew what that was. I was like, I don't even know what that is, but she tweeted.
I hate to say this. I'm not a fan of Chrissy Teigen, but I love the name Diane. I've always loved the name Diane.
I love
Diane Carroll. I have a late Aunt Diane, who was glamorous and wonderful.
Okay. Steak Diane is basically steak, but you use the juices from the runoff juices to make the sauce. And it's often with like mushrooms on top of it. That's what it is.
So they called her Diane because they didn't like the sound of au jus as a middle name. Yeah. Christine au jus Teigen. That was the option. Chris, are you drinking Pepsi?
No, it's in a Pepsi glass, but it's Coke Zero.
Okay, thank you.
How dare you think
that's
kind of
how dare I? The glass says Pepsi on it. How dare you?
Look, and it has, look, it's Christmas jingle bells.
Where did you get that glass?
A vintage store.
Oh.
I was going to suggest that it was from a swag bag, so vintage store is much cooler.
No, if only. Pepsi's not sending us jack shit, and they're definitely not now that Dominic screamed at me for drinking it.
I mean... Chrissy Diane Teigen, where to begin, Christopher?
I mean, where to begin? So Chrissy Teigen, I mean, where did everyone come to Chrissy Teigen?
Well, Chrissy Teigen was a briefcase model on the game show Deal or No Deal during the pilot and first season. Yes.
With Meghan Markle.
Yes.
I did not know that, actually.
No, I only knew it when I only knew it when I started my research 45 seconds ago, and I saw it on her Wikipedia page.
So, despite that, I think that like many wives of very famous celebrities, she kind of like, she was beautiful. You know, her and John Legend are on the red carpet together. Like, she's definitely like a wife that we're into as a society, is like how I started to come to her. And then she really became, in my opinion, like the queen of Twitter.
Like 100%.
Like, she had a monopoly on Twitter about like whatever she wanted to talk about. And it grew, like, I'm skipping so much, but like, she really did grow a huge following on just like tweeting about God knows what.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd go so far as to say there are millions of people who know her from that first. They don't know anything about Sports Illustrated or anything.
So I feel like that's actually, I had to look up how she was famous. Like, other than being John Legend's wife, when we were talking about doing this, I was like, I don't actually know what Chrissy Teigen was famous for on her own.
I didn't either until today.
And I feel like everything I've learned about her, I've kind of learned against my will. Like, it's been kind of forced on me. You know what I mean?
By her, likely.
By her. Yeah. And like People Magazine. Like, I just feel like we're constantly bombarded with information about Chrissy Teigen. But I think what made her really famous on Twitter was that she got into it with Trump. And she, that was like a really big deal. And then it got covered in on like CNN. So she started to get like a lot more attention during that period.
Right. Right.
But it turns out, based on what I read on Wikipedia, that she was actually famous in her own right before she married John Legend. I just had no idea.
Well, she was a model. I mean, I think that was her sort of like the beginning
famous,
of it.
Famous, like, quote unquote.
Absolutely. Like, well, definitely. I mean, she was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. She was like, I don't know that I'd not heard her name before she was attached to John Legend, but I think, you know, she went stratosphere when they got married, obviously, and then it just became like, she was not unsuccessful when she met him. She wasn't plucked from obscurity,
but she wasn't a household name, like, she
not even close. No,
like,
no,
you know
no,
what
no,
I mean
no.
It's
I don't even know that John Legend was a household name the way he is now. Like, she was in one of his early videos, right? His most famous song is about her, so I kind of feel like kind of became really famous together. All of You, I think.
Oh, that's about her.
Yeah, that's about her.
What, and that's what, like, who else would it be about?
Only song of
a
his
previous
I can
girlfriend,
name.
His first wife, the secret family that lives in Amsterdam. Could be about anybody.
But I think what she did well is that she went from being, again, a model who then married someone with an EGOT to, like, you know what I mean, someone who doesn't need to prove how talented they are. And she kind of was like a model that didn't really have any real, like, instead of being Jessica Seinfeld, who thinks that she's going to write a cookbook, like, for no reason at all. Like, she was like, I'm going to be really funny on the internet, which usually is not, doesn't work and is terrible. She actually was like the only person, in my opinion, that's like the wife of a celebrity that actually made that work.
And she did it for a while.
But you do know she's written like a bunch of cookbooks, right?
Sure. No, that's fine. But that's
an, I just love that. You're like, instead of just writing cookbooks.
No, but she did that after she became Chrissy Teigen, the queen of Twitter. Do you know what I mean? Like, she did that in her own right as a celebrity, not as John Legend's wife.
Yes, I think that's right. I think she has her own persona outside of John Legend, which I do think it's like offensive when we refer to women just as the wife of someone. So I do appreciate that. I think she has a whole kind of persona outside of him.
100%. I think she's more famous than he is, personally. I really do.
I think that that's an insane statement. I mean, I'll just get her to go on record saying it.
But you guys need to remember that, like, for a while, when she would say something on Twitter, it would be national news. Like, it would be, I mean, when she tweeted, like, I like this show, people were, like, falling all over themselves to get to the couch to start streaming.
Right. Well, she got a very big following pretty quickly on Twitter. You know, we're not... She is the wife of John Legend, and I think we can all agree that part of why many people know her is because of that. But I think wanting to make sure that she wasn't just the wife of John Legend is part and parcel of why she developed this part Jada Pinkett Smith, part Susan Sarandon personality on Twitter, where it's like, here's what I have for breakfast. Here's me taking a dump. And also, here's what I think about politics. And I'm going to say shit because I can until I get in trouble. You know, until the floor fell out from underneath her, because, well, it wasn't because of those statements. I mean, we'll get to that in a minute, but yeah. You know, it was that she did all that. She did it on her own, baby. I don't know. She was another one. I have to say, we've been having a lot of these recently. She was another one who I looked at and I'm like, do you deserve our expertise / should you be reintroduced to society? I don't know. Cause some of the stuff she's said is a little borderline for me, but we're gonna get to it. Let's continue on the road we're on, though.
So I feel like it's important for me to tell you guys one of my first memories of becoming aware of Chrissy Teigen, because it's relatively unusual. Did you know that Chrissy Teigen, as far as I know, is the only celebrity who's admitted to having liposuction in her armpits?
I did not know that.
No. What? Yeah.
So she,
I might actually like her now,
said this thing. I mean, I can't remember what year it was, but I think it was in 2017. She admitted that when she was younger, she was self-conscious about her armpit fat and that she had it lipoed out and it had really helped her. But it was a long time and now the armpit fat had come back. and I just remember actually... Like, I just, it really struck me, first, because I didn't know that was a thing. But second of all, I was like, wow, celebrities do all sorts of things we do not know about. Like, I remember it being very, like, impactful for me, because it was one of the first times I realized that there are all sorts of crazy beauty things that I just don't even know to be self-conscious about. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah. Do I need armpit liposuction? You know what I mean?
No, well, and that's the genius of Chrissy Teigen, where she's like, I'm going to say this very strange thing that makes no sense, that's going to not only knock you on your ass because you're like, oh, a celebrity is admitting to getting plastic surgery, but also I'm going to do it in this weird way where every single person that is listening to this is going to go, do I have armpit fat? And like, try to find where like it's being sucked out of her armpit, right? Because like, where was it? The back of her armpit? Is it like the like little part that's like before the boob, that like if you wear like a strapless dress, it like kind of hangs over, you know what I'm saying?
It must be that, right?
Like, it has to be that. It can't like, be her actual armpit.
But again, how are we to know? We don't know. She just said armpit fat. So it's like, it's, there's something so amazing about that, because not only is that every single headline, like armpit fat is in every headline, which we eat up, like eat right up. Like,
I mean, it stayed
Sunday
with
dinner.
Me. It's the first thing I thought of when I think of Chrissy Teigen. I'm always like,
but then it's some weird thing. And then weirdly, it's like she's brave because she's coming forward that she had armpit liposuction.
Well, she's also been she's been very honest about having multiple plastic surgery. She has, the quote is, I had my armpit sucked out. So maybe there was just fat there where the hair grows. I have no idea.
Seems so uncomfortable.
She has said before, everything about me is fake except my cheeks. And while saying that, pointed to her forehead and her nose and her lips. She had her armpit sucked out. By the way, I am, for the first time, my source here is time.com.
For the first time ever on this podcast.
Right. I have my armpit sucked out, she said, noting that it wasn't a necessary treatment, but it helped her feel more confident in sleeveless tops. It added 2 inches of length to my arms.
It added length to her arm? That, I feel,
well,
like,
because
there's
so she
much
can put like a strap. Right. Because, right.
Oh, length up. I didn't even... Oh, wow. That is a really good
She said
way
it's coming back, so she might need to pay for it again. But
she might have to get it sucked right back out.
Do we need to just discuss what is going on in the world that Time magazine covered that? Like an actual story?
Not enough, apparently. There's not enough. None of real things happening. Good Lord.
Like, why was that in Time magazine? Shocking.
But regardless, she is or was a master of that. That's not a news story, but it was a news story.
Story.
Right.
Because I remember even like back in the day, like working on Bravo shows and her being like, I love the Housewives. And I remember working on Housewives and all the Housewives being like, Chrissy Teigen is DMing me. This is amazing. Like, oh my God, I'm so excited. And this is before she had kind of met a lot of them. And like, it became this whole thing where she was like, I want to meet the housewives. And John thinks I'm crazy, but I want to meet all the Real Housewives. I'm obsessed with them. We watch them all the time. And so I remember the housewives that I was working with were one by one being invited to go meet up with Chrissy Teigen and John Legend.
Oh, really?
And,
oh,
like, God. Yes. And so
that's an amazing piece of information to
and
have.
So it was like, at the time, it was this thing where she was like, I might be like married to an A-list celebrity and I'm becoming a humongous A-list celebrity, but I love Bravo and I want to meet reality stars and I'm just like you. And I, you know what I mean? She had a magic, no matter whether it be like, I love Bravo so much.
At some point, I feel I could be making this up. Maybe I just thought this myself, but at some point I think that Andy Cohen said he thought she would make an amazing housewife.
If she wanted to be on Beverly Hills tomorrow, they would do it.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, right?
Why I feel like it's the only reason she won't do it is because John Legend will be like, no.
Like, I'm not filming one time.
I believe if some of these scandals hadn't happened, she would have done it. I believe if she wasn't viewed so negatively, I think it would have just been an eventuality. I mean, John Legend's got an EGOT. He can do whatever he wants. His career is not going to be destroyed.
David Foster was on Housewives.
Kelsey Grammer did it.
Was on the Housewives of Beverly Hills.
But I mean, is Kelsey Grammer an A-list celebrity? He's like in Hallmark movies now. You know what I mean?
How dare you?
Well, first of all, I love Hallmark movies. Let me just start by saying.
You can make that. You can make fun of for sure. But yeah, Kelsey Grammer dating Taylor Swift.
Kelsey Grammer's dating Taylor Swift. I mean, I feel like Kelsey Grammer's a bad guy, right? We don't like Kelsey Grammer.
Regardless, he was very famous and went on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It has nothing to do with it.
At the time, actually, I think he was even more famous than he is now.
Yeah, he was still in the post-Frasier glow.
She has this magic where she can, whatever she touched at the time, kind of turned into gold, and every news outlet ran with it, right?
Right.
Like, if you're Dominic Source's Time magazine talking about her lipo of her armpit.
She's in the news this week because she did ketamine therapy for her birthday.
And she saw her miscarried child.
Yes.
Which is like a very trippy thing to feel like you saw during your ketamine therapy. Yeah. I mean, I will say that an interesting thing about this question of fixing her is I just went to People Magazine out of curiosity and put in her name, and they average an article a week about Chrissy Teigen even now.
I believe that.
Like, she's not as in the zeitgeist, but I don't think she's really gone away, for better or for worse.
No,
She's back now.
No, she's starting to slip back in. She's like tiptoeing back in a little bit, and they're letting her.
Yeah. Well, I think the miscarriage was like a big news story. When she admitted that she'd had the miscarriage, that she'd lost the baby, she got a lot of sympathy. And I feel like that's when it turned around again for her. Is that a terrible way of framing it?
No. I mean, it might be true. I don't know.
There's a lot of empathy around that, right? And I think she was, again, what she does brilliantly is she talks about a thing women don't always feel comfortable talking about. And so she came forward and admitted this thing and how hard it was on her. And I think a lot of women did relate to that. I mean, it's a struggle, you know, many, many women go through. I'm really bringing the vibe down.
It's part of her magic of being like, I'm going to talk about a miscarriage, but then also I'm going to talk about Sonia Morgan. You know what I mean? Like, that's like what I'm doing. You know, she mixed a lot of, and she never really like, I remember thinking, wow, she really is doing such a good job, like, not having to ever be tied down by being one thing. She's simply a celebrity. Like, she really is like an it girl in kind of a way. Because she's not a model. Like, she does not model anymore. Like, where is she modeling anything?
She was on the 50th cover of Sports Illustrated.
Right. Not solo, but she was on the cover.
Yeah, but they brought her
back. You're not seeing her. Like, she's not Gigi Hadid.
No. But no. Gigi Hadid is also a lot younger than Chrissy Teigen.
I'm just saying, like, she's not, like, doing, like, billboard ads for clothing. Like, right. she doesn't really need to do a lot of modeling.
She doesn't really
need to do that. She's not really a model anymore. And she's not a singer or an actor or anything. She really is just a celebrity.
Yeah, she's a personality.
A personality, sure.
Right.
She, like, hosts shows and she does
cooking shows. She hosted
Lip
Sync Battle with LL Cool J. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and she makes cringy, memeable faces at award shows.
Yes, very memeable.
You know, she does,
But like, she's more famous than doing the cringy meme face than she is doing a television show.
Correct. You know what I mean? Well, that's like, why, you know, she is in fact known as being John Legend's wife. And now for these these other things we'll talk about where she just sort of like was going off the rails regularly in her DMs to people, some of them children, and saying really fucked up shit. So Courtney Stodden was a girl who was married to a man.
A name that I haven't heard in a long time.
Right. Well, Courtney Stodden was a girl who was married to a man named Doug Hutchison. And in May of 2021, Courtney said that during her marriage, Chrissy Teigen not only tweeted about her, which we all saw, but privately messaged Courtney Stodden to kill herself. And she was a minor at the time when Chrissy Teigen sent these messages. So Chrissy Teigen apologized to Courtney Stodden. She said she was mortified and she described herself as an insecure, attention-seeking troll. Chrissy Teigen described herself that way. Courtney Stodden accepted her apology, but did say it was probably an attempt to save her business partnerships. And so a month after that, and by the way, this my source here is Wikipedia. After that, Chrissy Teigen released another apology in a lengthy blog post admitting to cyberbullying. Because I guess there was a fashion designer along with Farrah Abraham, Farrah Abraham. Yeah. they spoke about being targets of her attacks as well, and they posted screenshots of Chrissy Teigen saying shitty things to them. Chrissy Teigen said that the screenshots had been faked. And that was the end of that. But it didn't help. It didn't help the situation at the time.
And she only claims the ones from the fashion designer are faked, right? The other ones she admits, certainly the Courtney Stodden
ones.
Yes,
I believe so.
Deny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Courtney Stodden was the one. She was on like Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, right? With that husband.
Ooh.
And they were like, this isn't legal. And they were like, what? Am I wrong?
That feels right. Know. But I don't know if it's right. It just feels right. You know, that feels like the kind of couple they were. She was 16 when they got married. Is that possible?
Yes. The couple appeared as cast members in the second season of VH1 reality television series Couples Therapy. It was Couples Therapy with Dr. Drew.
The thing is, that story is a little complicated. I remember the Courtney Stodden story because it kind of seemed like her parents pimped her out to that guy. Like, she had a good family life.
Yeah, she was like a minor and it was like technically legal because the parents signed her away, but it was like the guy was so much older than her and they went on Couples Therapy on VH1 and I remember everyone else being like, all the other couples were like, get away from him, like run away, like you are a child, like don't do this. And so it's sad because she probably watched the show and that was probably what happened, right? In theory, that was like the time that she tweeted her. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're watching this person on TV and then you're like tweeting all about this and then also messaging her privately and like saying horrible things to her when the show itself was extremely sympathetic to Courtney and being like, you are not safe in this. Like you need help. Like it wasn't like her being like, I'm amazing. And like, no, you know, she was resistant, but like it was extremely obvious watching the show that she was like a child married to a full-fledged adult, and it was really sad.
Well, I think that's kind of why it feels so gross that Chrissy Teigen did this, because it feels like punching down so significantly.
Yeah, oh,
that's
like,
all
it
is.
Thing,
that's
right?
Why
it's
I don't like her. Right.
To troll like Donald Trump, who deserves it, and or whatever, right? Like, you're like, you know, she was kind of in her like resistance mom era, so she was doing a lot of, you know, tweeting at Trump, whatever. But it's another thing, like, what about Courtney Stodden made you feel anything other than empathy for her? Like, she was just this kind of sad figure, like a poor man's Anna Nicole Smith. I can't imagine having so much vitriol that I would send her a message to unalive herself. Like, that just seems like such a dramatic reaction to kind of like a sad reality show figure.
It's also not trolling, you know, it's actual bullying. Like, to me, trolling is something like you humiliate someone in the comment section very publicly. Like, this is harassment. Like, it's just harassment. Plain harassment, you know.
Yeah.
And this is from someone who is a self-described feminist, and I shouldn't even say self-described because she's been active and vocal politically about feminist issues. She's made large donations to feminist organizations before all this stuff happened. So to know that she's doing this was just very, very just disturbing. I don't know that I've forgiven her since, only because was I fascinated with the salaciousness of the Courtney Stodden of it all? Yeah, I mean, like anyone else was. But she's still a child, an actual child when you're messaging her. It was very bizarre. Just very bizarre. And to me, when it happened, negated every bit of good work. You know what I mean? It's like finding out that a rabbi is a Nazi or something. It's just like what utterly like it turns everything you represent upside. It turns it into a lie. All of it.
Well, and that's also too, it's like, this is also where her not like having an actual like talent to fall back on hurts her. Cause she can't be like, oh, I'm going to go make a new album. Like, bye. She's now just like, oh, my whole job is to be like a personality on Twitter. And now I can't do that because I was like unmasked. Do you know what I mean?
It's like,
and even if, let me give her the benefit of the doubt for 2 seconds and be like, okay, you were in it. Like, I don't know what that would be, but sure, you didn't mean to do this, or you were in a very bad place, and so you lashed out at someone else. Let's just say, like, it still is like, okay, now what do you do? Because you're kind of like fucked because you don't really have like any real career,
right?
To like throw yourself into. You're just supposed to be funny on Twitter, and so it's like now you're kind of like painted yourself in a corner because you can't. Spike TV is not paying the bills, honey. Like, and no one's watching you for that.
Well, she kind of doesn't need to pay the bills, though, right? I mean, she is married to John Legend, so she could
She won't pay a bill ever again.
She could have just been like, you know what? This really makes me think, and I'm going to go away quietly and whatever. But I think part of what made it worse to me at the time is she went away for, like, a minute, and then she came back and was like, it's been really hard on me, not online.
Yes,
because and I was moment. Like, girl, no, don't do that.
Because what happened? She came back and was like, guys, it's like really bad. And like cancel culture. Like she, in my opinion, is like the number one person that like has been canceled. Like we all decided like, okay, like no, like you're done now. Mm. And we as a society was like, goodbye. And she left. Do you agree with this? No.
I don't know about the number one, but she's certainly up there. I mean, it was like it was pretty immediate and. You know, solid, I would say. Yeah, she did go away because no one wanted anything to do with her anymore.
And again, she has nothing to even, not to invoke this, but even R. Kelly, like, who someone, people were, like, campaigning to stop him from creating music and people stopped streaming his music. There were still people that were like, I love his music, so I will not do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, there, like, even someone who is that horrible, there were still people because of his actual career were like, I will hold on to this.
Sure.
But also, I feel like we should separate like criminals from camp.
No, sure, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like Harvey Weinstein, in that scenario, Harvey Weinstein is the number one most canceled person.
Sure.
But he's a criminal, right? Like, I feel like the Bill Cosbys, the Harvey Weinsteins, like, that's a different class. She probably is one of the most popular, kind of mildly annoying people who went on to just get removed from the public eye for some period of time, despite the fact that it was very obvious she still wanted the attention.
For behavior that could be considered criminal, I might add, because urging someone to kill themselves, like there are cases where these people do actually, they are held liable under the eyes of the law. I mean, I can't think of those names. Right. She just got out of jail or just served jail. Right. That girl who.
The girl that was like, you should do it. And he was like, I don't think I want to do it. Yeah. No. Yeah. The one that was like Michelle Carter, the girl that texted her boyfriend that was like, you, that basically.
Right. Can you imagine, though, if Courtney Stodden, God forbid, had harmed herself in some way, and then they looked on her phone and the last thing she saw was Chrissy Teigen's tweet? Chrissy Strawberry Shortcake Teigen's tweet.
You're so horrible.
I can't believe it took me this long to revisit that joke.
Yeah,
it's impressive that you stayed in your mind that way.
And the only reason I bring up R. Kelly is that, like, it's like all these people that are like, criminals, they at least have like something that is somewhat of a real career that they can point to be like, but this is the thing that I've put into the world. She's like, here are all the tweets that I put into the world. You know, I keep going back to the thing of like, she did such a good job of being a celebrity for no reason. And yet like that is kind of her downfall at the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I have to say that I think part of the reason she was so roundly kind of rejected is because she had also canceled a lot of other people.
Yes.
She had participated in the canceling of others with a very gleeful zeal. So I think it made it even more kind of unlikely that she would be forgiven so fast.
And her vocal criticism of Donald Trump had half of Twitter when they found out these evil things that she was saying privately. Half of Twitter already hated her just because of her politics. So they pounced and pounced and pounced and gave her a taste of her own medicine. really.
I mean, and then what happens? Like, she comes back and is like, it's been really hard and I've been thinking a lot and I'm really sad.
And made it worse. Made it infinitely worse.
And I want to be famous again. And, like, you guys should all just let me be famous again. Like, basically is what she said. I mean, I'm paraphrasing.
Sure was.
Yeah. And then that was like, shut your goddamn mouth. Like, it was everyone. Then it was really bad.
I feel like it didn't go well. It took a while for her to dig herself out of that particular hole.
Well, she finally got... Basically, everyone reacts and is like, what are you doing? Stop. Goodbye. Leave now. And then she really kind of did. Like, I really feel like she hasn't been around. We haven't. We were just starting to see news stories about her. And this happened a couple years ago, didn't
yes.
it? I mean, this was yep. a while ago.
It was in May of 2021 that all this went down with Courtney. Started.
Yeah. So,
oh, that's
yeah,
recent. So that's more recent than I realized.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Well, that was the other thing you said. This is also during COVID. So when you don't have a lot of shit to do, you're going to focus on things like, what did Chrissy Teigen say? And so they pounce. She became very popular during COVID, by the way, as a result, and sort of died by her own sword, was that she got canceled during COVID as well. Because it was during the 2020 election and her criticism of Trump that turned the dial up on her a lot.
Right. The right wing media was like very focused on her. Yes. So they were going to run with any story that was going to help sure. that cause.
For sure.
I mean, and then what happens? Nothing really. Like, she's kind of been quiet. We're starting to get a few stories about her. She's
well,
like 14
months. 14 months after she after Courtney Stodden made these accusations, Chrissy Teigen celebrated 1 year of alcohol sobriety. So
that's right.
She I'm assuming is her saying that was her alcoholism perhaps was partially responsible for her
it
behavior.
It is a good, I mean, I'm going to be gross right now, but like, it is a good play by her.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're her, what are the others really? I mean, she already called herself a troll, which that's not a troll. That's a psycho. And said that she was an alcoholic. So I don't know. Now the bitch is looking to us, which I think is really rude. Really, just that's where they all end here.
It's up to the two of you. How are you going to save Chrissy Teigen's career?
Think we're there.
Are we there?
I think we're there.
Chrissy Teigen, you are famous for nothing. You are famous and you don't have a career to fall back on and you have to fix that. So this is what's going to happen. You are going to be in every single runway show in next New York Fashion Week that you can. You are going to be a model again and just show up in every single extremely amazing famous designer show, either at the beginning or at the, like, you know, you are going to be pulling out looks, huge gowns, like craziness, like so that like you get back in what?
I'm enjoying your performance. Continue.
In these like amazing gowns that are just, you're like pulling looks, like just jaw dropping situations so that you have to have, you know, your picture in the press walking the runway.
Right.
And from there, you do start doing billboard ads. You start doing all kinds of stuff. Like you take back over and like since you're famous, like you're not 22 years old, but you will be booked because you're a famous celebrity that wants to be a model again. And you are going to put your face in as many places as possible so we can't stop looking at you and simply overexpose us to you again so that when you do come back to Twitter and like decide to do whatever you want to do and want to talk about random weird shit or like celebrity, like reality stars, like whoever on Love Island that you want to meet, et cetera, right. et cetera. Like when you do that, then like we're okay with it because we've had to see your face 95,000 fucking times. And I almost was going to pitch her becoming a Real Housewife, but I'm not going to do that. And I almost pitched her doing some kind of musical career. I don't know what, but I'm not going to do that either. But I wanted her to come out with an album at some
point
for no reason
musical
at all.
Talent?
No, it doesn't matter. That's not the point here. But I almost added that in and I'm not doing it, but I need you to know that I almost did it because it's funny. But I just need her to like be so that when people say blank, 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 Chrissy Teigen, it is an internet personality, Chrissy Teigen. It is runway model, Chrissy Teigen.
Interesting.
She needs a career that is not being an internet celebrity.
You have a lot of faith that she can even pull this off. I don't know. I'm not going to poo-poo your
idea. She has no fat in her armpits. She can pull it off.
That was then. She's had too many children since then.
She'll suck it right back out. She's ready. She said everything is fake. She'll get a full body redone situation.
Huh. Listen, I don't want to, you know, put a thumb on the scale yet because I really want to be able to judge impartially. But I will say, if Lisa Rinna can be in runway shows, I think
slam.
You know what I mean? Like,
wait, I must go back to when you called Courtney Stodd in a dollar store version of Anna Nicole Smith, and I just need to add slam. But I also need to add.
It feels mean. Am I bullying Courtney Stodd?
No, but it's true.
Mildly. Only if you're talking about 18-year-old Courtney.
No, but we all felt bad about Anna Nicole Smith as well.
Right, like, I loved Anna Nicole Smith.
No,
that's
what I'm
saying.
It's a tragic figure. It's
feel
it would, no, but
sympathy for
who
her.
Who among us did
amongst,
not love Anna Nicole
Smith?
Who amongst us? That's true.
Who amongst? Right. But also, if Lisa Rinna, that is a slam. If I've ever heard one, thank you for that.
I mean, listen, you have to admit, it's pretty shocking that she's on runway shows now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, ready?
Yeah,
I'm ready. Hit me.
Christine Eggplant Parmesan
Steak Diane
Teigen Legend. The entire time that we were talking, I did not budge from my original pitch, which was just delete your account until the last 5 minutes of us talking. The whole time I just thought, you know what? You need to be famous, obviously, but you don't need it. Like, you're set for life. You have a ton of kids, and you'll never want for anything currently until the end of their lives, because you don't need to work another day. John Legend has you covered. Could you have a job? Am I being misogynistic? No, I'm just saying, I'm just telling everyone what your situation is. It's not like you need a paycheck. You're good. But you need to be famous, and I don't want her to be. I really don't. I want her to delete her account, because if someone abuses children, you're not allowed around children anymore. So if she abused this platform, she shouldn't be allowed to use it, period. Elon Musk should just get rid of her. But
I mean, that Dominic, what you're asking to move the sun and the earth. What are you talking about?
I no longer think that's not my pitch. That okay. I wanted to let you know my pre-pitch, because I don't like her. But then, because I really focus on what we're supposed to be doing here, what we're committed to doing, I have changed my pitch. Chris is going to need smelling salts after this.
I'm so nervous.
I think that Chrissy Teigen should be the new host of Love is Blind.
Oh, my. Are they looking for a new host?
No, but they should, because the ones they have are not good. Chris, ladies and gentlemen.
Dominic Anthony Pupa. Fuck, I lost this one. Fucking bitch.
You don't know if you lost it yet. Susie has not spoken, but I'm just, as we're talking about her, and when we're talking about someone, I'm looking at their pictures on my other monitor, and I'm like, you know what? You need to do something brainless with a dash of glamour, and that's it. And they need that. The show needs it anyway, because we've already discussed that that's their problem. Dominic, Chris is so upset. Are you crying actual tears at the
how
good my
dare
ideas?
You how Dominic, how dare you use this against me like this?
I have weaponized your addiction to a television show that, as of press time, I have not watched an episode
one frame of it.
Not one frame.
I also do not watch Love is Blind, although I think it is hosted by
Nick
Vanessa,
and Vanessa Lachey.
Yes, right. And I have seen the memes about how weird their hosting is.
We have sacrificed them to the gods on this show on more than one occasion.
Vanessa Lachey, I have said on more than one occasion publicly, if Vanessa Lachey ever sees me in person, if she spit in my face, I would just take it for the things that I have said about her on the record. And I would deserve it.
Wow.
Anyway. Dominic, I am beside myself.
Are you forfeiting, Chris? Do you actually like my pitch?
I'm not, but it's an amazing pitch.
Yeah, first I wanted her just eradicated from public life, and then I'm just like, just put her on the most popular show. You're on like, Netflix instead.
Well, either way, you won't see her, so you're
good. That's
true. It worked out perfectly, actually.
I wasn't before. Us deciding to do her was the most I'd thought about her in quite some time, but, and that's my pitch. Susie, the
floor is yours.
Ball's in your court.
You this can feels... ask questions. You can do whatever you want.
This feels very hard, and I feel a bit like how Chrissy Teigen must have felt when she did that judge show where she was God. Judge Chrissy or whatever the hell.
Wait. Oh my God, we didn't even talk about that.
How did we not even talk about it? How
just,
did we
just
not?
Just bring wow. that in. You're at the end, in the final moments.
Oh God.
So I'm going to judge this from the perspective of someone who likes Chrissy Teigen, which I am not. But if I were,
okay.
I don't feel very strongly about her either way. I just think she's kind of cringy. And I don't think the stuff she did to poor Courtney was okay. I think if I were on her team, I would go with Chris's advice. But if I was just a person in the world, I would go with Dominic's. So it's kind of a tie. Is that okay? Is that a cop out?
It's no, Chris and I have differing opinions on the ties. Go
well, because I feel like it would be more seemly, it would be more classy to be a supermodel again, you know, to just like do right. some covers, do a couple stunt appearances on the runway, spend more time with her children, get out of the
totally.
Way. But of course, I would prefer it if she was the host of a trashy reality show. That would
Listen,
be preferable for me.
You can have your tie because I forgot that, Chris, we've already discussed that in the event of a tie, we're turning it over to the viewers to decide. Remember?
In an unprecedented move. Something we haven't said in a long time on this podcast.
Because it hasn't warranted it until this very fucking moment. This unprecedented moment.
About 3 months ago, every episode we tried to make some reason for it to be unprecedented when it was like the dumbest thing ever.
I and feel like I've made history. Don't take
you
this
have.
Away from
oh,
me.
Oh, you, no, you have without no, even no, knowing it. You have.
What we are going to do is we are going to post the popular vote on Patreon like we always do. And the patrons are going to vote on who they think wins.
I can't.
It is going to be up to the popular vote. We are going to take a whole week to let the votes roll in, and just the patrons this time are going to vote on who is the winner, and we'll announce it next week on the podcast.
Wow.
Wow. I feel really honored to be part of this.
You should. You should.
You should.
I mean, wow, Dominic. Love is blind.
I know. I think Chris is going to go on the Patreon and vote for my pitch, by the way, so everyone knows.
I really feel that he chooses you, so I was really torn, but I think for her own sanity, it would be better for her to be not around very much.
I
here and there.
Love how seriously you and all of our judges come. You take it so much more seriously than Chris and I. And
than
honestly,
we do.
You lend such a legitimacy to this that I feel like
it's like embarrassing for me. Is what you're saying?
No, no, it's embarrassing for us to be honest
yeah,
with you.
We're like, we don't even care as much about this as everyone else does.
That's
wow.
fantastic.
Okay, well, we're going to have
results next week, everybody.
And guys, if you feel very strongly about one of these pitches and you're not in the Patreon, the $5 tier is all you need to be a part of in order to vote in the popular vote.
I know. And we didn't know this was going to happen. This is not a money grab. It
no,
is
no
just,
we truly
this
did
is
not.
Just how we're handling it. Wow.
I mean, I'm on pins and needles waiting to see who wins, because this is like
I'm not, because if I don't win, I'm canceling this podcast. I'm like, it's over. No, I am.
And
on
Dominic,
needles as
I'm
well.
Not gonna lie, using the Fixing Famous People account, I will put one vote on your thing from me. I really will. I really will.
Oh my God, I'm honored. I'm honored. I don't know how it jumped. I just don't know how it jumped in there. I just was like, fuck it.
Sometimes genius just strikes, you know?
Well, only of a show I would barely even know about if I didn't
that's
have
what,
you
That's
my
what I said. You wouldn't even see her anyway because you wouldn't be watching.
Correct. Correct.
You're just voicing
if she
her
does
upon
host,
me.
Right. If she hosts it, I will never see it. But good luck, yeah. girl.
Susie, thank you so much for being with us. Please, where can people find you?
Thank you so much for having me. People can find me anywhere they look for podcasts. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can find me on Instagram at SusieBNYC. And please listen to In Retrospect.
Thank you so much, Dominic. Where can people find you?
I can be found at my website, dominterry.com, and on socials at Dominic Pupa. Christopher, where can everyone find you?
You guys can find me at The Krista Rosa. You can find the show at Fixing Famous People. You can find the Patreon at patreon.com/fixingfamouspeople. You can buy the holiday candles at the link in our bio. And thank you for being here, Susie. I wish you both well. And as always, where's Shelley? Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.